We're certainly happy that you're here today, especially those that might be visiting with us. We certainly count you our guest, or we talk about honored guest, and hope you'll linger for a little bit after the services. We get better acquainted with you. We appreciate the fact of so many people that are being involved in different things. We had another one of our young men Wednesday night, David Shanks Jr., did an excellent job with his Wednesday night talk. Colton did a couple of weeks ago. And it's just a wonderful feeling to know that that even the younger folks are preparing themselves to take a lead in this congregation when a lot of us and our lives are quickly coming to an end. Seems like that time seems to be flying by a little bit faster now. So we're always glad that other folks are taking a part in the different parts of the worship service and in the work of the local church here. Today I want to talk with you for a few minutes on the subject of resolving conflicts in marriage. And of course there are different conflicts that different people have in their lives. I had a conflict this week with this right here. I called Jason. I don't think people realize how long it really takes for us to do a worship service anymore. It takes a total amount of hours to just get everything together just for the hour-long worship service. I know you all see, 25 minutes or whatever, and, might think, well, that's great. But it takes an untold amount of time sometimes to put everything together. And this was a week that things just weren't working out. So I put in the flash drive, and the flash drive didn't work. So I text Jason. Jason says, well, you need to let the computer slowly wake up. I said, well, I apologized to it. I said, I was so sorry that I woke you up so quickly here, but I'm going to sit over here now. Somebody would think I was crazy, if they'd have been looking in the door there. I said, I'm going to sit over here, and I'm going to wait for 10 minutes, and then I'm going to come back, and I'm going to try again. Yeah, he gave me two ideas. He said, wait first of all for it. Second thing, just turn off the computer and turn it back on. And that's what I did, and it worked fine then. But different conflicts that we have in our lives, just amazing. It seems like what people go through in society today. Today I want to take you to 1 Samuel chapter 25, though. And talk about a conflict here between a married couple, Abigail and Nabal. And we're just going to read for a few moments this morning. First of all, the introduction. It says, there was a man in Maon, verse 2. Whose business was in Carmel, and the man was very rich. He had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. And it came about while he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the man's name was Nabal, and his wife's name was Abigail. The woman was intelligent and beautiful in appearance, but the man was harsh and evil in his dealings, and he was a Calebite. That David heard in the wilderness that Nabal was shearing his sheep. So that's the introduction. We have three players here. We have Nabal, we have Abigail, and we have David. So we understand first of all from that. In verse 5 through 13, we see there is a conflict between Nabal and David, beginning at verse 5. So David sent 10 young men, and David said to the young men, "Go up to Carmel and visit Nabal and greet him in my name. And you shall say, 'Have a long life. Peace to you, peace to your house, and peace to all that you have. Now I have heard that you have shearers. Now your shepherds have been with us. We have not insulted them, nor have they missed anything all the days that they were in Carmel. Ask your young men, and they will tell you. Therefore, let my young men find favor in your eyes, for we have come on a festive day. Please give whatever you find at hand for your servants and for your son David.'" When David's young men came, they spoke to Nabal according to all these words in David's name. Then they waited. Verse 10, it says, "But Nabal answered David's servants and said, 'Who is David? Who is the son of Jesse? For there are many servants today who are each breaking away from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my meat that I have slaughtered for the shearers and give it to men's origin who I do not know?' So David's young men retracted their way and came back, and they came and told him according to all these words. And David said to his men, 'Each of you gird up your sword.' So each man girded his sword. And David also girded his sword. About 400 men went up behind David, while 200 stayed behind with the baggage." So we see a conflict here. David, he had taken care of, seems like, Nabal, and taken care of Nabal's servants while they were raising these sheep and goats, and hadn't taken anything from them. Now it was a festive day that they were shearing the sheep, and David was hoping to receive some payment because of this. And Nabal, he's a very harsh man. Who is this fellow, David? Who is this son of Jesse? There's a lot of fellas right now running away from their masters, alluding to King Saul. Well, in verse 14 through 20, it says, "One of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, 'Behold, David's messengers from the wilderness, sent messengers from the wilderness to greet our master, and he scorned them. Yet the men were very good to us, and we were not insulted, nor did we miss anything as long as we went about them while we were in the field." They had taken care of them. David's men had taken care of them. "It says they were a wall to us both by night and day, and all the time they were tending the sheep. Now therefore, know and consider what you should do, for evil is plotted against our master and against all his household. He is such a worthless man that no one can speak to him." So you can see what this marriage is like from the very beginning. In verse 18 it says, "And Abigail hurried, took 200 loaves of bread, 2 jugs of wine, 5 sheep already prepared, 5 measures of roasted grain, 100 clusters of raisin, 200 cakes of figs, and loaded them on donkeys. And she said to the young men, 'Go on before me. Behold, I am coming after you.' But she did not tell her husband Nabal. And it came about as she was riding on her donkey and coming down by the hidden part of the mountain that, behold, David and his men were coming down toward her. So she met them." Well, verse 21 and 22, we see David's oath here. David said, "Surely in vain I have guarded all that this man has in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed in all that belonged to him, and he has returned to me evil for good. May God do so to the enemies of David and more also, if by the morning I leave as much as one male of any who belong to him. God do away with them. Well, as we move along now, verse 23 through verse 31, it says, Abigail said to David, she hurried, dismounted from her donkey, fell on her face before David, bowed herself to the ground. She fell at his feet and said, on me alone, my Lord, be the blame. Please let your maidservant speak to you and listen to the words of your maidservant. Please do not let my Lord pay attention to this worthless man, Nabal. For as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, your maidservant, did not see the young men of my Lord whom you sent. Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, since the Lord has restrained you from shedding blood and from avenging yourself by your own hand, now then let the enemies and those who seek evil against my Lord be as Nabal. Now let this gift which your maidservant has brought to my Lord be given to the young men who accompany my Lord. Please forgive the transgression of your maidservant, for the Lord will certainly make my Lord an enduring house, because my Lord is fighting the battles of the Lord. And evil will not be found in all your days. Should anyone rise up to pursue you and to seek your life, then the life of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of the living with the Lord your God. But the lives of your enemies he will sling out as from the hollow of a sling. But when the Lord does for my Lord according to all the good he has spoken concerning you, and appoints you ruler over Israel, this will not cause grief or a troubled heart to my Lord, both by having shed blood without cause, and my Lord having avenged himself. When the Lord deals well with my Lord, then remember your maidservant. Very quickly, verse 32 through 35, it says, David said to Abigail, blessed be the God of Israel who sent you this day to me, and blessed be your discernment, and blessed be you who kept me this day from bloodshed and from avenging myself by my own hand. Nevertheless, as the Lord God of Israel lives, who has restrained me from harming you, unless you have come quickly to meet me, surely there would have not been left Nabal until morning light as much as one male. So David received from her hand, what she had brought him, and said to her, go to your house in peace, and see, I have requested to you and have granted your request. Verse 36 beginning. Verse 36 through 38. It says, And Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he was holding a feast in his house like the feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunk. So she did not tell him anything at all until the morning light. And in the morning, when the wine had gone out of Nabal, his wife told him these things, and his heart died within him, so that he became as a stone. And 10 days later, the Lord struck Nabal, and he died. And then in the remainder of the story, we see here that David marries Abigail. A few things to learn from this story. One is, a lot of times there are money problems within a marriage. But it's not money problems like many times you think of money problems. The money problem here is in chapter 25 how they're going to spend it. How they're going to spend it. We've looked in the chapter thus far, in chapter 25, and see that Nabal basically wants to keep everything for himself. And we see that Abigail wants to share. Nabal's greedy. He has refused the fact that David and his servants, 400 men, have built a wall around these young men that are out there, that are taking care of the sheep and goats, and they've taken care of them for a period of time, evidently a lengthy period of time. And now all they were requesting were some provisions because of the fact they had been out there taking care of Nabal and taking care of his flocks and his servants. Our lesson, though, to trust in people and not possessions. She's intelligent. She is discerning. She can help him. She can help him make a decision. With her mind and his money, they could have been extremely successful. But one thing we learn from this, first of all, is that when you're married, it's very important to establish godly ways. And in this point, godly spending habits. When you're talking about money, we find one side here that is just refusing to talk about it. And that's what we have many times in marriages today. You know, I have my money and you have your money, and I'm going to go spend my money the way I want to, and you go spend your money the way you want to. And all of a sudden, both sides are in trouble because they don't have any money maybe for bills, or they don't have any money maybe for the children, or for giving to the Lord or anything else. Because they've decided to be selfish with their lives. A second thing that we learn here is communication. And this was true of David as well as Nabal and Abigail. We see in verse 6, chapter 25. He says, "Thus you shall say, have a long life. Peace be to you. Peace be to your house. And peace be to all that you have." He greets this man with a wonderful blessing. A blessing of what he hopes for this family and what's going to occur in this family, about the fact, hope that you have peace in everything that you do. The first lesson is, do we communicate that with others as well? Is that what we hope for others? I know during this time of the year, a lot of times people are a little bit more kinder than they are the other times of the year. But is that something that you desire throughout the year? That you wish the best for everyone in their lives? That you hope that everyone would come to the Lord and they would repent of their sin? But David's tone quickly changes. It changes from verse 6 where it says, "Have a long life, peace to you, peace be to your house, peace be to all that you have." In verse 22 now, he's crude. Verse 22, David says, "May God do so to the enemies of David, and more also, if by morning I leave as much as one male of any who belongs to you. The Hebrew talks about male, he that urinates on the wall. What he's feeling about those people here at this time. These people have turned their backs on me, and because they've turned their backs on me, they're going to get it now. I'm going to go down there. I'm going to take these 400 men. We're going to gird our swords. We're going to go down there, and we're going to take care of these people in just a matter of minutes. Won't take long. In verse 27, though, you see the intelligence and the godliness of Abigail, though. In verse 27, it says, "Now this gift your maidservant has brought to my Lord shall be given to the young men who accompany my Lord." And then from there, you see a string of comments to where she talks about the Lord. The Lord. The Lord. You can underline it over and over again down through verse 30-31, to where she talks about the Lord, about what the Lord is going to do. When you put the Lord in the conversation, many times things will change. I've lived over in my neighborhood for a long time now. Many decades. And I've lived by the same neighbors for a long time. And a lot of these fellas, they'll be out there, they'll be drinking beer. And when I'm out there, maybe in the past doing yard work or out there doing something, I walk down the street and talk to them. To this day, after all these years of living in that same neighborhood, they'll have that beer in their hand, and when I come up to talk to them, they'll put it behind their back. Just like I'd never seen them drink beer before. No. I believe to this day it's still out of respect in a strange way. Because hopefully when I go down and talk to them, I'm going to show some sort of godliness in my life. And that makes them very uncomfortable. But still, in a funny way, they still respect. And the same thing can happen to you with the communication that you have in your life. Overcoming conflicts in the marriage role. You think what Abigail and Nabal could have been. I think in the New Testament, the power couple in the New Testament is Aquila and Priscilla, it seems like. It seems like their names just run together, Aquila and Priscilla, just like many of your all's names that have been married for so long just sort of run together after a while. And this was the case with Priscilla and Aquila, how they had a church, they met in their home, how they did things that were pleasing to the Lord. They were industrious, it seems like, in their business. They were cooperative, they were unified. They had met their fullest potential. But here was two people that did not meet their potential. One was godly. One was intelligent. And the other was full of greed. Probably bitterness, hatefulness. I think of if we could make a movie out of this. You would have everything probably for a movie. Oh, they would turn it around where David lusted after Abigail, and that wasn't the case at all. In the movie, you would have power to where David, he's hoping to do away with Saul and to be over the kingdom of Israel, even though the fact he has been anointed. Or maybe the fact is Nabal with the power struggle. But here in the middle of all this, you understand this isn't a movie. This is a real situation. This is a real choice. This is a realistic temptation. Because in doing so, when you get down to verse 32 through the rest of the chapter, you see the godliness of Abigail. You see that Abigail has the best in mind. This could have been it. I tell you what, David's on his way down with 400 men. I tell you what, I'm going to go to my mother's house now and stay there. And David's going to come in and he's going to wipe out Nabal and wipe out the rest of these people. And I'm going to inherit all this money and maybe I can get married to David. No. She goes and she protects this guy, her husband. You remember? For better, for worse, for richer, for poorer. She goes and she protects this guy. She humbles herself. She pleads with David to spare his life. And because of her pleading to spare his life, her suffering is extended. A lot of times there's difficult decisions to make in a marriage. Might be the easy way out just to say, well, I'll tell you what, we'll just split up right now. We'll just go our separate ways. She was doing the hard thing. She had 10 more days. But she honorably serves her husband. Even when it's challenging, even when it was challenging here, she embraced the roles of marriage that God had set in place. So they honorably serve one another. Last point here, and then we'll make some closing comments. In verse 23 and 24 of chapter 25, it says, Abigail saw David. She hurried, dismounted from her donkey, fell on her face before David, bowed herself to the ground. She fell at his feet and said, on me alone, my Lord, be the blame. On me alone, Lord, be the blame. Takes the responsibility. Verse 25 and 26. Do not let my Lord pay attention to this worthless man Nabal, for his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, your maidservant, did not see the young man of whom my Lord, whom you sent. Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord lives, as your soul lives, since the Lord has restrained you from shedding blood and from avenging yourself by your own hand, now then let your enemies and those who seek evil against my Lord be as Nabal. Verse 28. Please forgive the transgression of your maidservant. For the Lord will certainly make for my Lord an enduring house. because my Lord is fighting the battles of the Lord, and evil will not be found in you all your days. She quickly turns things around, sets things right. God's going to repay our choices. We see, first of all, that David restrained his temper. He didn't kill Nabal, didn't kill the servants. He has rewarded a wife had just been taken away from him by Saul. His wife Michal had been given to some other man. And now he has been rewarded with a wife. Abigail, she rescued her household. And she is rewarded by being married to David and given a greater household. And old Nabal had rejected God's anointed. Who's David? Abigail knew exactly who David was. She alluded to the fact of the sling with the giant. Who is the son of Jesse? And because he rejected God's anointed, he was rejected by God. The lesson: continue to walk with God. The question is now, have I rejected my spouse's inspiration? We can even use this from the standpoint of the Lord in our marriage with Him. But in our marriages, have I rejected my spouse's inspiration? In verse 3, it says, now the man was Nabal, his wife was Abigail. She was a woman intelligent, beautiful, and beautiful in appearance. But the man was harsh and evil in his dealings, especially in his dealings with his wife. Have I returned evil for good? There's so many kindnesses shown in a marriage. And so many times people are willing to forget all the kindnesses that have been shown and desire to return evil for the good that's been shown them over so many years. And the same is true with the Lord and what we do with Him. And how is God going to repay me? Verse 39 says in verse 39, when David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, blessed be the Lord, who has pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal and has kept back his servant from evil. The Lord also returned the evil doing of Nabal on his own head. Then David sent a proposal to Abigail to take her as his wife. The many wonderful things that this woman did. How she stood beside her husband. And how she saved the future king of Israel from making an awful, awful mistake. How will God repay me? How's He going to repay you for the way that we treat our spouse? And more importantly, how is He going to repay us for the way that we've treated the Lord? We'd encourage you, if you need to respond to the gospel anyway, to come right now while together we stand and we sing.